I'm going to open with a word, another word of prayer. I thank you, Father, Yahweh, through your wonderful Son, Yehoshua Mashiach, for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are in this room, and you are in the room of where everybody's watching or listening. We thank you, but we invite you into not only this conversation that is coming out of me and into their ears, but also invite you into their hearts to tutor and to instruct us, to strengthen us. That as we humble ourselves and we raise our hand in class and we ask and inquire, as we make ourselves vulnerable to your instruction, we know that you will work many wonderful things. We thank you and we give a great introduction to the Yehoshua Mashiach or Christ Jesus. And we thank you for your teaching tonight. We thank you that you are not retired someplace, but you are alive and well. And I thank you what an honor it is to get to be your hands and feet this evening. And I give you glory and our Heavenly Father through Yehoshua Mashiach. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be doing a teaching on history. Basically, everything's going to be based off of, or the majority of this teaching is going to be based off of E.W. Bollinger's appendices, or the appendix number 50. The fifth chapter of Genesis, 5 verse 5. So all the days of Adam, which he lived, were 933 years, and he died. Adam lived 930 years. Now, what's kind of neat about that is, so we find out, okay, he lived 930 years. Then we'll turn back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. Now, this is what's real important with a lot of Christians. I know their intentions are right, but some people think that the earth is 6,000 years old. The reason why they think that is because our Father does give us a calendar right here. But the calendar He gives us does not start until Genesis 1, verse 5. The earth is in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. But the timetable or the calendar that we have, as you might go through a calendar and go, when did this start? Or if you had somebody's day plan, you look, when did this start? Okay, here's the first thing that happened in January, February, it looked like that. Our Father's calendar doesn't start until Genesis 1, verse 5. So we don't know how old the earth is. But Genesis 1, verse 5, and Elohim called the light day, but the darkness called he night. So it was evening and it was morning one day. So we'd say that. So what's neat about that is that the calendar starts Genesis 1 verse 5, and from Genesis 1 verse 5 to Genesis 5 verse 5 is what I'm going to kind of focus in on, which is kind of neat. So I got a bunch of little drawings that I'm going to be using as illustrations. It's going to be really good for Elijah to be here too, because this is a timetable. And I do a lot better with illustrations when I can see something. And what we, it's just common knowledge that, but E.W. Bollinger breaks all these dates down, which is even better. But Genesis 1 verse 5 was approximately 4,000 years ago. Excuse me, 4,000 years before Christ. So here's the timetable, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. This right here, Elijah, is where we are. Okay? This right over here is the beginning of this Genesis 1 verse 5. The earth, we don't know how old it is. But we know how old the stars are. And so tonight we're going to be learning about history. What our Father teaches us on history. What's neat about this is you see this 6,000 years, right? See this first gap from here to here? Yeah. It's Adam. 1,000 years, one guy. 1,000 years is between Genesis 1:5 and Genesis 5:5. Isn't that incredible? The whole history up until the birth of Christ is recorded in the Hebrew as 4,000 years. 4,000 years of that. And the first 1,000 years is between Genesis 1:5 and Genesis 5:5. That was quick, wasn't it? The reason, then in the New Testament, the 100 years after the birth of Christ, the prophet was recorded in Greek. So the two languages of the Bible are Hebrew and Greek. So I recently heard somebody say, why was it recorded in Greek? And I said, did you know that Jews were carried away in captivity different times? She said, oh yeah, I remember, like Daniel, that's right. How about Esther? Yeah, I remember that. Egyptians, yeah. when they were carried away, you can imagine Americans losing a war to China, and China relocates us and puts all Americans in Japan. And that's what happened with a lot of the, and that's why they spoke Greek, and a lot of different things happened, but that's why there's Greek language, because that's all they had at the time. It was the best that they had, but really the foundation of the word is Hebrew. But the first six of the timeline was 1,000 years. Genesis 1:5 to 5:5. Now we're going to turn to 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Which is on the www.teleosministries.com. That's TELEIOS ministries.com. There's a free E.W. Bullinger. You can download a PDF and you can look at the appendices. And what he does is he breaks down everything and the verses beside it all this whole timetables. What I've done is I have branched off from his chronology to do a specific teaching here. But Elijah, would you read 2 Peter 3, verse 8?
What page it is?
It's 244.
In the New Testament.
2 Peter what?
It's 2 Peter 3, verse 8. It's actually
244.
Yeah, 244.
What?
Okay, I'll read it. Verse 8. For this one thing forgot not, beloved, that one day with Yahweh is as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as one day. When you look at a timeline like this, and you go 1,000 years went from Genesis 1:5 to Genesis 5:1, you could do that and say, how have you devoted yourself to the scriptures lately? Well, recently I just read about 1,000 years of history in Hebrew. Really? Wow, how long did that take you? Well, about 5 minutes. That went quick, didn't it? Yeah, and our Father says, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now we're going to turn to show you some other really interesting things. Now this right here is the drawing of a pyramid. Now this is not based off of biblical. This is not based off of what Yahweh has written. What if your father was Albert Einstein, and he personally wrote you a letter on physics, or your father or grandfather was Sir Isaac Newton, and he wrote a letter to your parents, to the whole family, passed it down to the family. This is how mathematics work. It'd be pretty important. Our Father wrote history down for us. He put dates and times and all these things. It is not by chance that He started. That was day one, how He started it. We have a calendar, so we can look at all these things. Now, what's interesting is, it's called the great courses. I recently learned, or not too long ago, learned about Egyptology. And what they believed is that the Great Pyramids of Giza was about 3000 B.C. So this is kind of interesting. So hopefully what all this is going to do is start bringing things in concretion. Here's the earth. Genesis 1:5, and about 4 days later, 5 days later, Adam is created, Adam and Eve. Adam lived how many years? 930. Then what was built? The pyramids of Giza. The Great Pyramids, to the best of our knowledge. Now that's not biblical, but it's something to look at. You're going to go, oh, that's interesting. So the Great Pyramids were built right after Adam died, or went to sleep. That's kind of neat, isn't it? So you kind of look at that, you say, okay, wow. It starts bringing things into concretion. Now what's even neater about that is that right here, there's another line. The Pyramid of Giza were built about 3000 B.C. and at 2948 B.C., so the numbers B.C. go backwards, Elijah. But right after 3000 B.C., guess who was born? His name means perfect. His name is Noah. Think about that. There's a 114-year gap between when Adam went to sleep and when Noah was born. Adam went to sleep after 930 years. Sometime the pyramids got built. Now Noah's born. Why is that so neat? Noah's father could have been a friend of Adam. Noah could have been raised by his father. And remember, everything was homeschooled up until recently. How did you learn about history? Mom and Dad. They taught us. How would Noah have learned about the Christ line, all the rest of these things? It would have been taught. And guess what? Because Moses wasn't until right around here. But Noah, think about that. Noah's father could have sat down and said, Noah, come up here, sit in my lap. And he's going, Dad, You know, why are things like this? Why are there thorns? And why is this? Why is there death and stuff like that? And he said, well, when I talked to Adam, I remember the first time I talked to Adam, Noah's father might live right back here. He could have spent 400 years with Adam, as far as we know. First of all, I talked to Adam. Adam starts talking about the garden, the way it looked. And can you imagine a first-hand experience, account of what the garden looked like? Noah being taught this, going, and then going, but the seed of the woman's going to come and restore it all. And here's Noah going, wow, that's so neat. And after Noah's hearing all this, maybe he's around Egypt, he sees these pyramids. He goes, hey, Dad, what about those? He goes, that's a funny thing you asked. They built those right before you got born. They're pretty big, aren't they? And here's Noah looking at that. Well, that's kind of neat. So you can say, or Noah's babysitter would have known Adam. What, isn't that neat? Can you imagine knowing somebody that knew George Washington? How about Abraham Lincoln? Here's the next timeline. So here we have the earth, first 1,000 years. This is Adam, 930 years. The pyramids of Giza, about 3,000 BC. Noah was born, 2948 BC. He lived until 1998. That's an easy one for me to remember. That's when my sister graduated from high school. I think she did. 1998. So he lived to 1998. What's really interesting is in between this 1,000 years and this 1,000 years, something really interesting happened. Turn to Genesis 10:25. Would somebody read Genesis chapter 10, verse 25?
And to Eber were born two sons, the name of the earth divide. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and the name of his brother was Joktan. Now, Joktan.
That's good right there. The name is Peleg, or Peleg. Oh. It's so interesting about Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, and it also says in 1 Chronicles 1, I think it's like the first chapter of 1 Chronicles, about Peleg. What's so important about Peleg? That's when Yahweh divided the earth. The same word, Peleg, Strong's, translates it as earthquake. E.W. Bullinger says it's to divide or to cleave. Have you ever seen, you ever noticed that South America and Africa look like they could fit together? Have you seen that? You know why? There's something called a continental drift. Now, man teaches millions and billions and billions and millions and billions of years ago, that's when everything got shifted. What does our Father write in the Scriptures? To the best of our knowledge, the continental drift happened 22-27. It didn't take that long, and our Father probably went, whoop, just like that. That's also, it's this what E.W. Bullinger believes also. And he believes that's how people got on these islands out in Hawaii and Samoa. People didn't cross land bridges to come all the way down North America, all the way down South America. Man hasn't been alive that long. So how the heck did they get all the way down there? Our Father scattered them in one part of Genesis, and then another part is he separated everything. So as far as we know, all the continents got divided. Right before the continents got divided, I did skip one thing. Guess what else happened? The Great Flood happened, 2348. So here's... Yeah, the continental shift happened about 231 years before Abraham. So Noah lived until 1998, and then Abraham was born in 1996. Okay, not a big gap between the birth of Abraham and the death of Noah. What does that mean? God, let's just think about this for a second. Abraham's father might have known Noah. Noah was a good guy, right? You think Abraham's father, Terah, was a good guy? Well, look at Abraham. He's the father of our faith. This is all before Moses, so there was no written word except for what was written in the stars. And so here, Abraham's father could have sat down. Here's Terah going, Abraham, come here for a second. Yeah, I want to teach you about this. And Abraham would have, but Dad, they teach at school. Dad, they teach at school billions and millions and millions of years. And Terah could have said, Abraham, Noah told me that when his father spoke to Adam. Can you imagine that? 2,000 years. Here's Terah possibly talking to Abraham about when Yahweh first told Adam about the Christ line. Adam knew this, and then Adam told Noah's father, and then Noah told me. And here's Abraham here in the first count. Can you imagine that? Have you ever heard a story from your grandfather? And your grandfather relays something about their grandfathers during the Wild West. And we're like, wow, really? My great-grandfather rode a horse, and isn't that neat? And here's Abraham. Most likely, that's probably what would have happened. So now here's just another little timetable, which is kind of interesting. So the pyramids of Giza, approximately 3000 BC, right after Adam died. Noah was born. 2348, what happened? The great flood. That's when what else? The creation of what? The bow in the sky. When was the first occurrence of this? 2348. Right after that, that's when the continental drift occurred. That date on that, excuse me, I'm going to write that one down. The continental 2227. Huh, isn't that interesting? And where do we get these dates? Our father specifically points it out. You want to learn about the continental drift? 2227. Let's have a history class here, and let's learn about some stuff here. Which this was so great. You can see here's Abraham, 1996. And here's just the beginning. You just start thinking about, God, we're just right here. I used to read the Old Testament or read things, so-and-so, we got so-and-so, this is millions and years, oh my goodness, it's so far. And then you start studying history, you go, it wasn't that long ago. It really wasn't that long ago. What does the Scripture say? In 2 Peter, it says, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And that is actually a quote from Psalms 90, verse 4, which is more accurate. In the Hebrew, it says, yesterday is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as yesterday, which in Hebrew, like a literal translation, means like 3 days. But still, 3 days to our fathers, 1,000 years. Look at it, 6,000 years. Sometimes we think, well, this has got to be the end times. Look how long we've been out here. Guys, we're barely a blip. We live 80 years, and we're like, wow, look what we've done. There could be another 1,000 years here right in front of us. So you can see what's so neat about it. We'll turn to James 4, verse 14. That'd be page 237.
New Testament.
237?
Here's another scripture. So sometimes I used to read these scriptures, 1,000 years is a day. I repeat it, but it never made sense to me. I mean, did it make sense to you? 1,000 years is a day? I can't even comprehend that. Here's James 4, verse 14. What does it say? What is Israel, would you read that?
But if bitter jealousy you have and rivalry in your ears, be not boasting and showing yourself false against the truth. Is that 3 or 4? What am I reading?
4, verse 14. Men who are not versed in the morrow of what sort of life will be, for ye are a vapor for a little appearing, then disappearing. Your life's a vapor, guys. It's going to be like this. I used to look at people that are a little bit older and think, man, I don't know if I ever will. It looks like they're really dragging out their life. And then there's that great Christian song saying, don't blink. It's going to be gone sooner than you think. And now I work with a lot of people that are in their 80s and 90s. They go, it's going to go a lot faster than you think. Adam lived 930 years. And I can imagine Adam sitting down there with Eve going, Eve, where did the last 920 years go? It just seems like we're changing age diaper. Now there's pyramids are being built. Can you imagine that, Eve? Don't blink. Our father says 1,000 years is going to go just like that. Just like that. And he's going, it's just but a vapor. Just like that. Psalms 90, verse 4. I've already referenced that. No, we'll turn it real quick. I'll get you a page number. There's another neat thing about that. Our father, when we read life is but a vapor, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you take a history course. Our father's got a history course right here. And you can get a timeline, you're going to go, what I wish I had is transparencies. Flip it, you're going to go, golly, this is not that long. Psalms 90, verse 4.
577.
It will say, but it's even better, verse 3. And this is, wait till you get there. This is so neat. I look at our father and look at, I think Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings ever of Judah. He reigned like 50 years. I'm like, Yahweh, how did you tolerate 50 years of this guy? Because to me, 50 years is forever, right? What's 50 years to our father? Not a whole lot, really, if we read the scriptures. You go, oh, okay. But you can imagine, here's even a cocky dictator, even President Obama, he thinks he's getting away with things. 90 verse 4, Thou causest man to return into dust, and hast said, Return, ye sons of Adam, or Adam, for 1,000 years in thine eyes are as yesterday, and in that is passed away, or as a watch in the night. Just gone like that. Can you imagine a fruit fly bullying you around? Ah, gotcha! Got you right where I want you. Yeah, TikTok, buddy. I'm not too intimidated. My son's going to be gone just like that. Our father's telling us life is going to be that quick. Now we turn to, so that's some of our history. But a lot of those scriptures don't make any sense until you get the history. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 21. Because even learning a little bit about the history, it gives us more of a reference point, but then we go, well, man, that kind of sounds crummy. Our life's just like that, we're going to return to dust. Yeah, that's actually what it says in Genesis. That's what Adam was told, dust you are and dust you will become again. Well, that sounds kind of meaningless. That's right. It all points to somebody returning for us. But Revelation chapter 21. We're reading 10b through 16. Izzy, would you read that for me?
21:10.
Yeah.
And he carried me away in the spirit unto a mountain great and high, and pointed out to me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, having the glory of El, her luster like unto a stone, most precious as a jasper stone, shining as a crystal. Do you want me to read?
Yeah, keep going.
Having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city having 12 foundations, and upon them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Keep going.
Through 16?
Oh, so through. And he that was talking with me had a measure, a reed of gold, that he might measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city, foursquare, lieth, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal.
That's good. So Hebrews 11:8, Abraham wandered in the desert looking for the city whose maker and builder was Yahweh. And here's the city. The city is 1,400 miles and it's a cube. E.W. Bollinger believed that this cube is just like the Holy of Holies. And so it's 1,400 miles square by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles, which is neat. Here is the United States. So that's why I love looking at globes. If you can see, look, doesn't it look like South America used to be right over here? Yeah, it does. Doesn't look like it. And then North America would have fit right over here, doesn't it? Yeah. That happened during Peleg, to the best of our knowledge. What's neat about Revelation 21 is now you have the United States here. This city is 52% the size of the continental United States. That's how big the city is. Alaska's over here, you go, one city. How big is that city that's going to come? That is our hope. Life is but a vapor. Oh, boy, that sounds crummy. No, because this is not the end. If you want to serve and make Jesus Christ your Lord, you want to go to the New Jerusalem, where death and pain shall be no more, and every last tear is going to be wiped away, there's going to be a huge city too. 50% the size of that. Now, what's also neat about that is how tall is it? 1,400 miles tall. Do you know the tallest mountain is Mount Everest? Mount Everest is approximately 29,000 feet. That is 5.5 miles. This city is going to be 1,400 miles tall. That's 254.5 Mount Everest stacked. I can't even fathom that. What's interesting about that is usually the history of our father's history, that is unfathomable. Then we get a timetable and go, oh, not that big of a deal. It could have been Adam, Todd, Noah's father, taught Noah, taught Terah, and then Abraham got first-hand accounts, taught Isaac about the Christ line. Well, that's pretty neat. But then we get a timeline like, wow, I can actually comprehend that. Now you start thinking about a city that big. Whoa, I'm getting vertigo here. And I know what you're thinking. Buildings that tall, that's a pretty fast elevators. 1,400 miles. How fast is it? It's that big. And he goes, that's what we're looking for. That's our future. How fast is your life going to go? Just like that. Why is that so important? Because if you don't use our Father's Word as your reference point, you're going to get caught up in life. You're going to get 30 years old and go, I'm still not married yet. My life's TikTok's running out. Well, maybe I'll never get married. Our Father says you're going someplace where people aren't giving them married, or nor are you going to be married. If all your hope is in this life, you're going to be very disappointed. But if you are looking towards our future, look at the past. Not what the history teachers say. Most of the history teachers, they don't even like Jesus Christ. They're not going to look at the Word. Look at the Word. Look what your teacher tells you. But man, that first 5,000 years went just like that. Your life's going to go quick too. Well, okay. Well, how do I keep things in perspective? Look where you're going. There's your future. Look how big that is. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. That's page 179 of the New Testament. We should be reconciling. We don't like to change. We don't like to stretch. But the truth will make you free. The traditions of men won't. I think it was Matthew 15. They came to Jesus Christ and said, why do you transgress our traditions? Jesus Christ goes, why do you transgress my Father's law or my Father's word? Make it null and void. And so sometimes when you learn something new, I don't know if I like this. Only the truth will make you free. And you know what? You might have to endure a little bit of discomfort. But joy comes in the morning. Our Father says He wants to set you free. And so, the Scriptures, what does it say when people die? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. How many times is that used? One time. Did Moses ever get to read that? No, Moses never read that. How about when King David, people died around King David, did he get to read that Scripture to people? No. What were they read in the Psalms? They went to sleep, they went to sleep, they went to sleep, they went to sleep, they went to sleep. And actually, you know what? If you do a word search on the word sleep, probably 90% of the time, guess what it's referring to? Not this. It's when people go to sleep. It's death. It's when our Father talks about death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. So we looked at the past. We got a glimpse of the future. And now here is the present. Lo, a sacred secret unto you do I declare. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, during the last trump, for it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must needs clothe itself with incorruptibility, and this mortal clothe itself with immortality. But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death hath been swallowed up victoriously. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But unto God be thanks, who is giving unto us the victory through our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach, or Jesus Christ. So then, my loved brethren, become ye steadfast, immovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord at all times. We don't know when Christ is coming back. How much harder are you going to be working if you don't know when your boss is coming back to the office? You're going to be busy. He could be coming back in 5 minutes. We don't know when he's coming back. So look busy. And the neat thing is back up here in verse 52. It says, in a moment. The word moment is the Greek word atom. As in you couldn't divide it. How quickly is that going to be? I used to hear those things like, man. When I was in high school, they came out with a TV series called 30-something. 30-something. And do you know what my response was? I said, who in the world would want to watch a TV show about old people? Now I'm 36. What's this happened in the last 20 years? It went just like that. What are the odds? Our Father's Word is true and true again. It's just in a moment. This life is very short. Sometimes our Father's going to ask you to endure something that is not easy. Sometimes he's going to ask you to stand up for righteousness, and people are going to ditch you. But if you focus on our hope, and you go, life is but a vapor, it's going to be gone just like that. Well, my feelings don't feel like that. Well, reconcile your feelings to the Word. Our Father doesn't ever promise you new feelings, but He shows you how to conquer your feelings with all these things. So now what you can do, history means His story. Whose story? Yahweh's story. This is all about Yahweh wanting a family and His Son. The diameter of the ages, which is Christ Jesus. And His story, what does He teach? How old are rainbows? Bet you've never heard that question before. I have never heard it. How old are they? Well, that sounds like a ridiculous statement. A prism is a division where we separate the lights and the... No. I'm not listening to scientists. They're still predicting climate change. They can't tell me if it's going to rain tomorrow or not. Okay? But how old are rainbows? Well, we look at the timetable. They're 4,361 years, approximately. A playing card to witness to somebody, so they go, hey, do you know how old rainbows are? You know, like, what are you talking about? Rainbows are only 4,000 years old. Life on this earth is about 6,000 years. Rainbows didn't even exist for almost the first 2,000 years. Isn't that interesting? What are you talking about? Isn't that interesting? In the Garden of Eden, that as far as we know, Adam and Eve never saw a prism. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Yeah, well, wait a minute. They never saw it because they died before the flood. Wow, think about that. Well, how about this? The continental drifts. Look at how all the continents got divided. Isn't that neat? How did they know about continental drifts and stuff? We didn't even get into space until like the last 50 years. Nobody even saw the Earth before. And Yahweh said that it is floating. He said that. It was neat. George Mueller wrote about that. I think it's in Ecclesiastes or something. How it's floating. Now we get to look at it and go, look at that! It's just a big puzzle. Somebody pulled this apart. Their explanation is billions and billions and billions of years ago. That's their God. But you can say, how old is the continental drift? 4,271 years. How can you say that? I have a timetable right here. It wasn't that long ago. Everything's put together. You'd say, how old is the earth? We don't know. Why? Because the calendar that Yahweh wrote us did not start until Genesis 1, verse 5. The earth starts in Genesis 1:1. So we don't know the earth, so that's a trick. But the lights, the stars, almost everything else is 6,000 years old. He said, when is Christ coming back? In an atom. In a moment. The twinkling of an eye. That's when He's coming back. And then we're going to have life forever. There's been times in my life that I sit there and you start wondering. Some of your dreams are falling apart. Maybe you're not going to get to cash in on some of those dreams. Maybe it's just too late. And you're looking at things. You're looking at time. Maybe things are kind of breaking down a little bit. Reconcile your life to our Father's Scriptures. And look and go, our inheritance, the real inheritance, isn't here anyways. Christ could come back tonight. And if you're waiting for a spouse, you're not going to need to be married for, 15 minutes? What's the point of that? You could be... But anyways... But use the history. Teach history. Our Father taught history. I just don't think we've been taught history. And so what we can do is start reconciling, reclaiming a generation and go, the earth, we don't know how old the earth is, but the continental drift was approximately 4,000 years ago. Rain was only 4,300 years old. And then people go, how in the world can you say that? You open up the book. And the Appendix 50 of E.W. Bull, you can get it free off the Telios website. You break it all down. And what E.W. Bonger does, unlike a lot of other theologians, he gives you a chapter and verse. Check his homework. Footnotes. Other people start saying things and exaggerating stuff like that. You can look at the whole thing. And there'll be, even in his notes, he starts getting a little frustrated going, well, there's about 4 years there that the scriptures, there's a little bit of gaps there. That's what kind of guy this is. And then he also, in Appendix 50, he goes, well, a lot of other theologians will come in and start saying, well, there's discrepancies in the Bible because the timetable's in the book of Acts. And then he's going to explain that to you. There's no discrepancy. Our Father's Word, there is no contradiction. This is our history book. This is our future book. And this is our now book. Well, thank you for watching and tuning in and for your time. And I'm going to there'll be another teaching next week. My brother-in-law, Tim Sodders, will be teaching 7 o'clock next Wednesday. And before I close in prayer, I'm going to give you a prophecy. Jesus Christ is alive. And if you're a believer, he's inside you. And he has given us prophecy so that he can hand deliver a word for you. The best example I heard of prophecy, and it's not the best there is, but just the best I've heard, is there's a guy, his name's John Lynn, and he said that his grandkids live down south. He lives in Indianapolis, and he'd get to talk to him on the phone every once in a while. He said it was the best thing ever, got to hear his grandkid on the phone. And then his daughter tried to talk him into doing something called FaceTime. It's ridiculous. The guy's 67 years old. He's not going to learn how to do something called FaceTime. So the story was. And then his daughter hooked it all up for him. And then he got to see his grandkid, child, face to face and see the expressions and the giggle. And he said, it was so much more personal. I never wanted to go back. There are letters, and that is our foundation. And then there's prophecy, too. And Christ would love to give you a word. And if you're listening right now, soften your heart. Would you like a word to hear from the Creator of the universe through Christ? These timetables are for real. They taught these things, and they will stir things up in your heart. Go to your professor and say, Professor, now the class is dismissed. What happened right here? And hopefully, if anything, this just stirs things up. Well, what happened here? Well, I think Darren might have missed something right here. I guarantee I missed a lot. But our professor is alive inside you. Get these resources, and he can start stirring more and more and more and more, because it's alive and true. And so I'm going to give a props. We thank Heavenly Father for these words. My children, know that I am your Father, and I know every single one of you. There's not one matter in your life that I'm not aware of. I hear every single petition. But I want you to bring them to me with your words. Speak them out loud. I want a relationship. And when there's a relationship, when people do not speak, there is conflict. I don't want conflict. I want to speak. I want you to start speaking. And if you think I need to start speaking, read the scriptures. My son died on a cross for you. I made the first part. I started this relationship. The biggest offering there's ever been. To prove to you that I love you and I want this relationship. Now speak to me. Open your heart up. Speak. What do you got to lose? Go in your closet and speak as a father and a son would speak. Let's talk about this stuff. You want to know why you're not hearing audibly? It's because you're not speaking audibly. You start working on this relationship and watch what I will do. I will not let you down. We thank you, Father, for these words and for all these things. We'll claim victory through Yahushua Mashiach. Amen. God bless you.